Your telephone calls are coming up a little bit later on, but as promised, I want to start hour number two. We're going to talk some football. We are joined right now by the linebacker, formerly of Notre Dame, a two-time captain, a National Football Foundation National Scholar Athlete Award winner, the Werfel Trophy recipient, an academic All-American, 86 tackles, 9 tackles for a loss, 3.5 sacks, 3 quarterback hurries, 4 breakups, and a fumble recovery this past season. The NFL draft is coming up April 25th through the 27th in Nashville. We are joined by former Notre Dame linebacker Drew Tranquil. Drew, it is so good to have you on the show. How are you?
Jim, I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me.
My man, so much to talk to you about. I'm so glad to have you on finally. You know, we're about 15 days away from the start of the NFL draft. So what's the draft evaluation process, Drew, been like for you, and how have you gone about approaching it?
It's been great, really. I mean, you go, for me, it started out obviously with the Senior Bowl, and then coming back from that and getting healthy and getting ready to go for the combine. But right now, really, I mean, it's just private workouts, it's meetings, it's flying out, meeting with teams, and, you know, going to Chicago this Friday. And so really it's just tightening the hatches, and, you know, they're certainly tightening the hatches on their draft boards, and we'll get ready to go here in a couple weeks.
You know, and I'm going to talk about that in 1 minute, but as we go back, Drew, your road to this spot has been so fascinating to me. If you go back, for instance, to your time in high school, you were not just a good baseball player. You were an excellent baseball player. There was talk that you could play professionally. So what was it about football that drew you to it?
Man, it's just, I don't know, the passion for the game, the energy. It was just something, honestly, man, I felt in my heart. You know, going into my senior year of high school there, I was like, you know, would I rather play baseball and not play football, or play football and not play baseball? And for me, it was like, I couldn't let the game of football go. It meant too much to me and my family and to my community. And so that was kind of, I guess, what got the ball rolling there for recruiting purposes.
All right, Drew Tranquil joining us. So then you go to Notre Dame, and it's working out great. You're making an impact. But then you go down with that knee injury. What do you remember about that?
Well, it was tough for me. That was the first injury I'd really ever sustained in sports. I'd played baseball since I was 3 and tackle football since I was 5 or 6. And I'd never really sustained an injury and been held out of competition. And so it was all new to me. When I sustained the injury, I came to the sideline, and, you know, they messed with my knee a little bit, and we're like, you know, you've probably hyperextended it. And I went out and played the rest of the game. So to get the news that I had the ACL the next day was really shocking, and certainly a setback for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, Drew, that's really something. You laid that out, but just so everybody's clear on this, you suffer that injury, but you did pass the test for the ACL injury, and you keep playing in the game, and then you show up at the facility the next day, and your knee is blown up, and then you learn that it is a torn ACL. I mean, what in the world goes through your mind when you hear that news?
Well, I think devastation. I think as a competitor, you know, you want to be out there every week. You want to help your team win games. And for me, I was a freshman trying to earn and prove myself as a starter there at the safety position. And, you know, it was tough. I was like, dang, I'm set back now, you know, whatever it might be. But for me, it was how fast could I flip the switch and start setting goals for myself. And, you know, Adrian Peterson, I think, had just come back and from an ACL and really redefined the standard of coming back from knee injuries and had like a 2,000-yard rushing season. I was like, I wonder if I could do it faster than this guy. And it was really just about proving to myself coming back. But it was a devastating blow nonetheless.
Drew Tranquil getting ready for the NFL draft. Again, I want to be very clear about that. The story goes, and you pointed this out, but you wanted to see who on record had come back the fastest from an ACL injury because you wanted to see if you could beat that. And not only that, but you wanted to see if you could not only be squatting, but squatting more than anybody on the team. Like, Drew, most guys get down when they hear devastating news like that. How were you able to shift into attack mode as quickly as you did?
You know, I had a great support group around me. I have great parents. My wife's awesome. I got great teammates, but I want to say I heard the story of Marcus Luttrell, who was a Navy SEAL and, you know, has that movie and book, The Lone Survivor. But I heard a story from him of, you know, his whole platoon had just gotten knocked out and he had been severely wounded and he had to, like, a 7-mile crawl to, like, this village. And he was like, you know, the way I did it was I drew a line in the sand and I crawled past that point. And then I drew another line in the sand and I crawled past that point. For me, it was like, I'm just going to set these small goals and attack them every day. And then, you know, I'll probably look back 3 or 4 months from now. And that was where I was at. I was squatting, you know, more than anybody. And I was doing things I didn't think necessarily were possible. But that was kind of, I guess, my attack mentality was, you know, just be the best on these small goals. And you'll look back from now and have done things that you didn't necessarily think you could do.
So, Drew, just for the record, how quickly were you able to get back?
The first one, I got back on the field in 3.5 months. We didn't really engage me in any contact just for, you know, precautionary reasons, but I was back on the field, full pads, running around, breaking, getting in and out of breaks at 3.5, 4 months. So,
yeah, I mean, it's amazing, yeah. Drew, but as you just pointed out, you said the first one. I think a lot of people know where we're going with this, but in the event that they don't, then you're facing Georgia Tech. You're having a huge game, and you tear the ACL in your other leg. At that point, was there any part of you that was asking, why me? I've worked so hard, and now this, it's simply not fair.
You certainly have those feelings. I mean, you set goals for yourself, and for me, I wanted to come back as a sophomore and do these amazing things and redefine the standard, much like I said, you know, Adrian Peterson did. I wanted to be an All-American. I wanted to do these things, and to go down there after probably having one of the best halves of football I've ever played in my career was very, very difficult. And it definitely, the turnover time between having the injury and, like, flipping the switch to recovery was a couple days longer for that knee than it was for the first. I definitely felt like I sulked a little bit more, and I was just so frustrated with the outcome and the cards I'd been dealt. But, you know, I don't know who told me it, but I was like, it's all about controlling the controllables in life, and I certainly couldn't control the fact that I had another torn ACL, but I guess I could control my response to that.
You know, it's such a great answer, and it's such a great response, and so candid. And the fact of the matter is, you did come back from that, and you're killing it yet again. And then you go to that point that you just made about only being able to control the controllables. I mean, there's a lot of people, it's a great mindset, but there's a lot of people a lot older than you who never actually come to the realization. How did you come to it at such an early age to only focus on those things that you can control?
I don't know. I feel like, you know, maybe I listened to the critics too much early on in my career, and I realized that, you know, wasting my energy thinking about that or thinking about a certain, you know, the way things were going for me in life, whether it was the injuries or, you know, my struggles with grinding through, you know, my degree here at Notre Dame, whatever it might have been, it really, there was no point in wasting energy, like, being anxious about those things or thinking about those things, like, just attack what you can. And, you know, I think I flipped the switch probably heading into my true senior year here, and certainly have been perfecting that sense. But it's an everyday battle. It really is, Jim.
Drew Tranquil joining us for a few more moments. He's getting ready for the NFL draft. Drew, you mentioned the Navy SEALs. I had a very good friend by the name of Richard Makowitz, and he's passed away. He had a battle with cancer, but he was probably the toughest guy. Yeah, the toughest guy I've ever known. And I used to train with him, and we train like in martial arts, and we do some work. But he told me early on, Drew, and I know you understand this, because he told it to me, and mentally I got it, but physically I couldn't. He used to push me to take cold showers. And I say, Mac, it's the worst thing in the world. Why would I do that? And I'll never forget his response. He said, because it cuts a toughness groove in your brain. I know you're a big fan of cold showers. How did you first get into them? What do you like about them?
Well, I started, honestly, I was just chopping it up with one of my mentors, and we were talking about Wim Hof, like the Iceman, and kind of his philosophy to life and stuff. And, you know, certainly for me, there was a mental toughness component to me, but more for me, it's like, if you can take a cold shower in the morning, like, and you can, like, breathe through that and handle that stress, I don't know, you just prime your body to handle any stress that might come your way for the remainder of the day. And so that's kind of my approach to it, and it's certainly something I still do. I've been doing probably for the past two and a half, 3 years.
Drew Tranquil joining us. I like it. Let me ask you this. You are a two-time captain at Notre Dame. Then you go to the Senior Bowl. You're a captain there as well. What's your approach when it comes to leadership?
You know, I was a lead by example guy growing up, but I've come to learn that people don't really care what you have to say unless they first know that you care. And so, I don't know, just sitting down, trying to learn where someone's from, what drives them, what makes them tick. People tend to respond better to people when they know that they care about them and those people understand, you know, where you're coming from and you understand where they're coming from.
So finally, you've got the draft coming up in a few weeks. I know you've got something, though, even bigger and more exciting arriving right after that. You and your wife, Jackie, are expecting a baby in May. How exciting is that for you and Jackie? How do you feel about that?
Man, I'm pumped. It was definitely a surprise, you know, a month or two into our marriage and bang, we get the big news. But we're super excited to welcome our son into the world. It's, you know, it's one of the biggest honors beside, you know, marrying her, that you could possibly experience in life. So I've been hearing from a lot of different people that, you know, it's crazy when your child first comes out, you'll never understand what that feels like until it actually happens. So I guess we'll see here in the next 5 or 6 weeks, but it's certainly something I'm really looking forward to.
It certainly is amazing. The 2019 NFL Draft is coming up April 25th through the 27th in Nashville. He's a two-time captain, National Football Foundation, National Scholar Athlete, a Werfel Trophy recipient, Academic All-American et al. Drew Tranquil, my guest. Drew, so good to have you on the show finally. I really appreciate you. Good luck with all of that, and it was a great conversation. Thank you.
Yeah, Jim, thanks so much for having me on.
Love to do it again soon. Drew, thank you. You know, as amazing as that conversation was, and as much ground as we covered, there was still more. I mean, I couldn't even get his entire story, most of it, but not all of it, into a single segment. Really impressive.